Ken, while we have you here, one of the things that I guess we kind of want to ask you a little bit about, we often hear the term, the word, Unitarian, and sometimes we hear the word biblical attached to that, a biblical Unitarian. From your work in theology and from your work in church history, give us a picture. What are we talking about when we're talking about biblical Unitarianism?
Well, do you want to talk about just biblical Unitarianism or Unitarianism and Universalism, which is where many people get things confused? Well, Unitarian Universalism is the first thing I think we need to approach. Because the Unitarian had a good start. It was an attempt to break away from Trinitarian language, and we find that in what George Hunston Williams referred to as the Radical Reformation, that there were those who felt Luther didn't go quite far enough, though at times he himself was thought to be maybe suspicious on the Trinity. And in fact, we find many of those in the Reformation that struggled with the Trinitarian concept, although they never went away from it completely. And then we have, for instance, John Calvin, who became so strongly in support of the Trinity that he would resort to the violence of seeing that Servetus was killed. Now, I heard a panel just recently that laughed about Servetus's death. But to think that this was, and in fact I believe to be, instituted through the magistrates by John Calvin seems to me to be an indictment of Calvin. But the Unitarianism was a very frightening concept, because it was thought to be heresy. Well, of course, what does heresy mean?
It was frightening to the Orthodox folks.
To the Orthodox folks,
of course.
Because that was the way it had always been, as they assumed. But when we say the heresy, it's a good question as to which ones are heresy. Is it fact that Jesus is God? Truth? Well, not according to the Scripture. So the one who says that Jesus is God may be indicted, in fact, as the heretic, not the one who says that God is one, which is what Unitarians said. God is one. Now the problem with that is that over time, especially as it came to America, but also as it was in England, we had this universalism that crept in with Unitarianism. And so the Unitarianism got away from its biblical roots and blended with humanism until they were very hard to separate. And soon, universalism or humanism, toleration became the key word, and Unitarian as a theological concept, while it was still there, became almost a non-theological word.
It just waned.
In fact, we had the opportunity quite a few years ago of traveling with a Unitarian Universalist tour group to Unitarian sites over in Romania especially, but also in Poland. And it was very curious to me, because as we sat down, and I think I've told you this story before, but we sat down the first day we gathered, and we gathered from all over the place. We were having come from Georgia, from California, and I'm not sure where all else. But we gathered in Budapest, and we were in the hotel, and told to break up into groups and introduce ourselves. And so my wife and I were together there and introduced ourselves to the lady that was sitting with us. And she said to us, she said, "I'm the president of our Unitarian Universalist Society." She said, "Of course, I'm an atheist." And suddenly I began to appreciate the fact that she felt like she could be a Unitarian Universalist without being a believer in God, who was the basis for a Unitarian belief. So it became very confusing. And later on, as we traveled through the countryside and visited Unitarian sites, there was nothing Universalism about it, except what had been drawn from humanism and now placed upon the Unitarian sites. But that had nothing to do with
the various historic sites.
The various historic sites.
Nothing about Universalism involved in those early sites.
There never was.
Isn't that interesting? So, Ken, when we're talking about Unitarian Universalism, sometimes referred to as UUs,
yes.
even by themselves, I think, that today is what someone in the public might most be familiar with when they hear the word Unitarian. They think Universalist, Unitarians. But Universalism was not actually part or parcel of original Unitarianism,
no,
was it? Unitarianism was a whole different story, a whole different picture.
And a whole different picture, right. Because we could go back and need to go back to Socinus Priestley, even later on, show this identification with a one God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something we've discussed earlier. But now, when you say Unitarianism, people today automatically put that with Universalism, mm-hmm. and think to themselves, well, they really don't believe in much of anything, which is maybe a fair charge, may not be. But my point is that is not what Unitarianism originally meant.
Was all about, yeah.
That's not what it was about.
Wow.
In fact, we were privileged to go and attend the 200th anniversary of Joseph Priestley. And
a noted Unitarian.
Well, he was. Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. Now, I wouldn't call him part of the same understanding, but
right.
but he had similar beliefs.
Surely.
And the man who, again, coined the term the Radical Reformation, one of the premier historians of church history, George Hunston Williams, is the one who invited myself and Anthony Buzzard, who was familiar, to come up to this 200th anniversary celebration. So we traveled up to Pennsylvania and met in the little chapel there with all of the priestly descendants. And they filled the little church where we were. Well, as soon as we walked in, George Hunston Williams, who was sitting on the front pew, saw us and immediately asked us, though we were really uninvited guests, to come and be part of the program. Because, he said, you really are the descendants of what Priestley believed.
Mm-hmm.
His own family have gone away from this and become Trinitarians.
Wow.
But he said, you are the descendants of what this man believed. So there is a segment of Unitarianism that is not Unitarian Universalism.
Mm.
And that needs to be, it's very important that there's a distinction made.
Mm.
Because, bless their hearts, Unitarian Universalists don't believe in the blood of Jesus' atonement, don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Mm.
In fact, going back to this tour, when we were over in Romania, the leader of the tour, he was a Unitarian Universalist, of course, but he also was sympathetic to our understanding of biblical Unitarianism. You use that, and we'll come to that later. But he asked me, he said, Kent, he said, why don't you stand up here in the bus while we're traveling? We were going from point to point. And he gave me the microphone and he said, explain a little bit what you mean by Unitarian. Well, of course, I stood up and began to try and explain what I believe was a biblical picture of what Unitarian means and what I believe that then put Jesus in the plan of God. And there was amazingly blank looks because these people had no idea of the biblical part of Unitarianism.
Wow. Well, Ken, am I right then in saying when we're talking about the word Unitarian, we need to understand what is being meant by that, because in the early days of the Reformation, Luther days, Calvin days, and so on, and during that era, there were those faithful, Bible-believing people who, though in a minority certainly, questioned this concept, this teaching of God called Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make sense to them, it didn't seem biblical to them, and they questioned it and began to take a stand, and as a way of expressing their view that God is only one individual, not two or three, one individual, and that Jesus Christ is his truly begotten human son, they used the term Unitarian was used regarding them as in opposition to the Trinitarian
view. Now, it had nothing to do with universalism right. at that point.
So then, later on then, the notion of universalism came along, which says that everyone eventually will universally be saved. An odd idea, I think.
But even that concept of being saved would be not understood.
I see. Okay. But then this didn't, universalism and that, as we're talking about it, really didn't get going well until what, into the 1800s?
Until we come to America especially.
Yeah.
Because the Radical Reformation, I mentioned that George Huntston Williams coined that phrase for
right.
us. There was, of course, the Lutheran, which was the first break with the Catholic Church. Then there was also Calvin's break. There was also then the breaking in England. There was also the Catholic Counter-Reformation, but he always represented the Radical Reformation, sometimes just called the Anabaptists. That was not a very clear term, and he tried to define that
right.
within. There's the spiritualizers, the Anabaptists themselves, and then what is called the Evangelical Rationalists. And the Evangelical Rationalists, he lumped the Italian anti-Trinitarians who moved up into Romania, who moved up to Poland, and in Poland we find a strong center in Krakow where there was an actual Unitarian university.
Wrong.
It was eventually okay. destroyed when a king who came in who did not show the toleration, there's that word again, toleration, which the Trinitarians denied to the Unitarians.
Wow, okay.
We cannot tolerate this because the deviation in that theology caused a shaking of society. And we have what is called the Magisterial Reformation, which is where the magistrates worked in conjunction with the church, theology, ministers, but they worked together to maintain a stable society. But those who broke away from that were seen as disturbing society.
Wow.
And if we're, especially at that point, if we're going to break from the Catholic Church, we can't have these little side things breaking things up. We've got to stand together.
Right.
And we ended up trying to destroy those, not tolerate them, who deviated from what we felt was correct.
So not only was the Catholic Church then down on these poor Unitarian folks, but even other Protestants also were exacting a toll against them.
Felt they had to.
Yeah.
It's interesting, someone once characterized, somewhat unfairly, that Catholics burned them, Protestants drowned them.
Ah, yes.
But in either case, there was execution.
This is terrible.
Yeah.
And in reality, when you take a look at it from a unbiased, I think, scriptural standpoint, those Unitarian folks were really onto something, weren't they?
Well, yes, I think they were. But they were also, even at that time, good citizens.
Ah, yes. So it's I think, fair to say then that the Unitarians from early Reformation days and forward were good Christian, Bible-believing, very devout, very sincere folks who were looking at this understanding of God being one rather than two or three, felt very strongly about that, felt that Jesus was his truly begotten human son, born of a virgin.
In fact, perhaps. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Isn't that amazing? And then the universalism thing that kind of got going in the 1800s, which was long after that, would it be unfair to say that they kind of hijacked a religion when we took the the Unitarian perspective
that's incorporated? That's a good point. That's a good way to put it. They hijacked. I don't know that they intentionally did that. I don't know that they understood what they were doing. But it did take away from the concept of biblical Unitarianism. That's why when we began to feel the need to make ourselves known, we were very careful about trying to decide how to express that. Well, what do we want to be called? Now, many of us have gone by the title Church of God, mm-hmm. but who were we as a body? Mm-hmm. Well, we were Unitarians, but we avoided that term for a long time.
Because of the Universalist thing.
Because the association with Universalism.
Totally different issue there, yeah.
Yeah, and so we finally came up with a term that we generally now hold to, of Biblical Unitarians. Because our Unitarianism, while we are tolerant of others, it is based on what the Bible says.
Right.
It's not a humanistic thing.
Right.
It's a biblical thing.
Right.
And it's very solidly biblical, although many would declare it heretical.
Yeah, they can't get away from that perspective.
Perhaps another time, Dan, we can discuss the ramifications there that came out of the Reformation itself.
Wow.
Because the Reformation was not one, but five distinct movements.
Ah.
That would be interesting.
That is good. While we're talking about this universalism thing, I also have a little anecdote to share. My wife and I were traveling in South Carolina, Charleston. Beautiful city. And it just happened while we were there that they were having festival days, or anyway, many of the old buildings in Charleston were open, and you could walk in and visit, and there would typically be someone there to welcome you and to tell you about it. Anyway, so we noticed that there was a Universalist Unitarian church there. Well, we'd never been inside a Universalist Unitarian building or anything else in our lives. But anyway, so we decided to go. So we went and were met by two ladies who welcomed us to the church. So we began to talk. Delightful ladies, very, very pleasant. Mm-hmm. Much like I'm sure it was the case in your trip in Europe on the bus. But anyway, these very nice ladies began to talk to us about their church and its history and the building and so on. And I began to realize, as we were looking around, just by looking at the building and looking at the windows and different things, that church originally, which went way back, was a true Unitarian, biblical Unitarian church, very biblically based in the beginning.
Even New England, that was true too.
Yeah.
Way back.
But now, this Universalism influence, now we have the UUs, as it were, Unitarian Universalists, or Universalist Unitarians. And the ladies I began to talk to them about, and I said, well, are you aware of biblical Unitarians? They were saying, well, what would that be? And they said, well, that's people who believe that God is only one. And I said, but are very biblically based in that. It's all about the Bible. It's all about scriptures and what Jesus said and what the apostles said and so on, from that perspective. And they just looked at us very puzzled and never heard of that. Said it seems like a biblical Unitarian would be an oxymoron to them.
To them it
that doesn't
be.
Work. What do you mean? They didn't understand that. So I think it really, true Unitarianism was rather hijacked, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays the word Unitarian has been colored by the Universalism connection.
And that's why it's important that when we speak of our Unitarianism, it is with that phrase, biblical Unitarianism.
Wow.
Because we don't deviate from the Bible.
Right.
We hold the Bible in very high honor.
Absolutely.
That it is God's word.
Right.
That Jesus, his son, died for our sins. We don't have any quarrel with that. But we insist on the Bible.
And
not humanism.
And then when we're talking about things from that biblical perspective, we run into that question that you were raising in an earlier discussion, that the notions of God as multiples of anything is really not a scriptural concept. And even many who would indicate a Trinitarian view of God acknowledge that it's not truly a Bible concept. So actually, the true Unitarians, the biblical Unitarians, both in the Reformation and now, are I think, unique and wonderful people, more dedicated to the Bible, perhaps, than most folks might be out here.
Yes, and I think that when people come to truly understand what we're saying, because oftentimes they can't hear what we're saying, for what they're thinking.
Ah, yes.
Because if you're not, for instance, a Trinitarian, you must be out there. You must be a heretic, right. Whatever
automatically,
you're saying.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
But we're not trying to say that we're just not Trinitarians. We're Unitarians, but it is exactly based on the Bible. And we would stand and discuss Bible with any of them, as long as we can use biblical language. It's when we get into non-biblical terms, it's when we get into what the council said, it's when we get into what the church told us we believed,
yes.
That we say, no, let's go back and see what the Bible
Stay with the Bible.
Said.
And when we get back to the Bible, we find that God is one. Isn't that amazing?
That's what he said.
I love it. I think that's great.
And that's, of course, the Shema of Israel.
Indeed.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one.
One. Always has been one.
And that's
always will be. Yes.
That's why Trinitarian Christianity has such a difficult time doing any evangelistic work with Jews. Mm-hmm. Or, for that matter, Islamic peoples.
Yes.
Because both the Jews and even Islam believe that God is one.
One individual.
Not
yes.
Three.
Yeah. Unitarian, as you and I would use it today, we're thinking in terms of something that is actually very biblical, very scripturally based, and an understanding that relates to the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of Paul, the teachings of the other apostles, the teachings of all the prophets of old.
But that's the problem. That's the problem. When we use that term Unitarian today, most people don't hear what we're saying. But they lump it in with the Unitarian Universalists,
yes,
which is a totally different concept from what you and I understand Unitarianism to mean. We insist that Unitarianism needs to be coupled with the term biblical.
Well, thank you so much. When I think of it in these perspectives, I'm rather proud to be able to say I'm in that tradition of one God believers. One God Bible believers who took their stand even in the early days of the Reformation.
That's right.
And even now, here we are still saying this understanding of God as one is wonderful.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much.
Nice
I appreciate it very much.
Dan.
Indeed.
Perhaps we can do this again.
I've enjoyed it a lot, and we surely will.
All right.